We brought in this wonderful young, and I say very young, family, Jeff and Deanna Andrews, into our church here. They were on deputation at that time to go to one field, and now they're in a different field, and it was one of those things, kind of a providential thing that you'll hear about, I guess, in just a moment, but we have just really enjoyed them. I talked to this man's pastor before I even booked him in here. And I said, "Is this guy a good guy? Tell me about him. What's going on with him?" And he just paused a moment. He scared me there for just a moment, Jeff. He paused a moment. He said, "I just don't know enough good things to say about him." And I've agreed with that ever since. So, Jeff, just come and share with us, share your heart, and let us know what's going on there in Spain. All right, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to be here. And I must say that I really, really appreciate the faithful support and prayers that you've given us all these years. Now, I'm going to explain why we haven't been here in so long in just a few minutes, but I'd like to start off with every church that we've gone back to since we've been on furlough and really just thank you. Because without churches like this one that have supported us for these many years and faithfully, we couldn't do what God has allowed us to do over in Spain. And we really believe that God is doing a great work over there. We're excited about what's going on over in Spain. And you're going to hear about that in just a moment. We are the Andrews family. I'd like to go ahead and introduce my wife. This is my wife, Dana, if she would stand. And my son is somewhere around here, I think in Sunday school or something. And it's always wonderful to have a family that you can serve the Lord with. And I love my wife and my son, and they're a blessing to me, and they're an encouragement to me. And I really thank God for them. My wife is a third-generation missionary. She grew up on the mission field. It's a great story. We don't have time to get into it too deeply, but her grandfather went over to Peru, and he started a church. And her dad, who loved music, his sister lived on the other side of the wall of the church, basically. And he would hear the music in the church. And so he was interested. And her grandfather went over and invited him to church, and he started going to church, and eventually he got saved. And so he married the missionary's daughter, and he became a missionary. And he went to Spain, and that's where my wife grew up. They were in Spain for 14 years. They lived in Madrid, and they did a great work there, started a church, trained some leaders. And then they went to Venezuela. And then my wife came back to the States, and she went to college, and that's where we met. Well, my wife has a wonderful heritage, and many of you also have a wonderful heritage where you were able to grow up in a Christian home, able to grow up where the Word of God is the center of that home, and you're able to come to church and worship the Lord. I have a very different testimony. I didn't grow up in a home like that. I didn't grow up where we were going to church or where the Word of God was the center of attention. I grew up where all I wanted to do was become a professional athlete. I wanted to just be famous and make a name for myself. I didn't care about God or the things of God or the Word of God. And so when I went off to college, I walked on the football team and I made it, and I was excited because my dreams and my aspirations were coming true at that moment. And after a year of playing on the football team, I went to UCF, the University of Central Florida, down in Orlando, Florida. After about a year of playing, I suffered a career-ending injury. And I just couldn't play at that level anymore after that injury. And I was devastated, of course, because my dreams and my aspirations seemed to be wiped out. And so what did I do? I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any kind of plan for my life other than that. Well, I had to get a job so I could make some money, help pay for school. And on the first day of the job, I met a Christian young man. I didn't know he was a Christian at that time. But his life and his testimony impacted and influenced my life. And I love telling that part of the story of my testimony. Because us as Christians, that's what we're here to do. We're here on this earth so that we can influence and that we can impact someone's life. I would not be standing here today if this young man did not impact my life. And through his testimony, because he was a Christian, he impacted my life. He invited me to church, and I went with him, 2.5 hours away from where we were going to school. And so I went down to this church, and this was down in Jupiter, Florida. And for the first time in my life, I was 19 years old. And for the first time in my life, can you believe it? I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. For the first time in my life, I sat in a church where the preacher opened the Word of God and he preached from the Scriptures. And you know, it touched my heart, but I didn't get saved that first day. It took me a while. of hearing the Scriptures, hearing what God had to say through His Word, hearing the preaching. This young man and several other young men in the church, there was a couple other young men in that church that also went to the school that I was going to. Any opportunity we got, they would talk to me about the Lord. They were good witnesses, good, had good testimonies. And after about 6 months of attending that church, I realized my sin and I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? From that day on, I can honestly say that God has changed my life. I can honestly see how my life was before that day and how my life is now. And it's none of my merit, but it's God that has changed my life. And honestly, He changed my life through this book, through the message that we learned through this book, the gospel. And that is the same message that we have taken to Spain and that we want to continue to take to Spain so that the lives of the people can be changed. And so after I got saved, I went on and I went to Bible college. That's where I met my wife. The Lord burdened our hearts about missions. And He burdened our hearts to go to Venezuela. And so the last time I was here presenting our work, that is where we were going. We were going to the country of Venezuela. We went all through deputation. We spent 18 months on deputation to raise our support. And we started off and we began to go to language school. But there was a relationship between the U.S. and Venezuela, the governments, that was basically falling apart. The new president had come in, and he had come in basically as a dictator. And that's basically what he is. And there were some things that had happened. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but there were some things that had happened in the government of Venezuela where they began kicking out missionary groups. And so at that point, we understood that there may be a possibility that we wouldn't get into Venezuela. And so I began praying and just asking the Lord, Lord, we're going to continue to go down this path. This is the path that You would let us down. But if there is another path that You would like us to take, because I understand that we may not be able to get in, You show me Your will. And so we continued down that path. And we actually went to Venezuela and we tried to get our visas. There was a lawyer that we hired and he told us, all right, I'll get you your visa in 2 weeks. And so we went there and 2 weeks later he said, well, give me another 2 weeks and let me see if I can get it. And after 2 weeks, he said, another 2 weeks, I promise I'll have it. And after 2 weeks, he said, you know what, just give me 2 more weeks. Why don't y'all go back to the States? It'll be better if you go back there. It'll help the process go quicker. After a year of him saying that, we never got our visas. And we actually went back down there for a month because Deanna's parents were down there as missionaries. And we called the lawyer and he said, I just can't do it. I can't get the visas for y'all. So we knew that God had shut the door there, but He opened the door in another area. And He led us to Spain. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times in life, and especially as a missionary, you know, aren't you supposed to be called to be a missionary? And then God leads you to the field, and then you go on deputation, you raise your support, and then you go to the field. If you have to go to language school, if you don't know language, you do that. Isn't that kind of the normal routine? Right? Well, it wasn't the normal routine for us. As we look back and we see a winding road in our life, and a lot of times I ask, you know, why, Lord, did You lead us down those paths? You know, we could have been in Spain so much earlier. It just seems confusing almost. Why? It just doesn't make sense. Well, one thing I've learned through all of that is that even when it doesn't make sense to us, God is still in control and we can trust in Him to lead us where He wants us to be. And you know, as I stand here now, after we've been in Spain for about 3.5 to 4 years, I can honestly see why God led us down that path, to teach us and to help us and to give us even more of a burden and a passion for the people in Spain. And God has just done a great work in our lives, and I appreciate all that He has done. And I appreciate the faithful support from you all over the years, even through our change. And, you know, it's not easy going through a change like that, but God has definitely worked in our life, and we can trust in Him. Even when things don't make sense, we can continue to trust in Him. And so my wife and I arrived in Spain, and I had to learn the language, of course. And if you have ever had to learn a language, I think everybody will agree with me that it is a humbling experience. You know, you have to learn how to laugh at yourself, right? You have to learn how to make mistakes and just laugh at yourself and go on. I mean, one time I told a lady that I was pregnant. And and so, I mean, you have to laugh. And you know, if you've ever been to Europe, you understand that that spaces are very small over there, especially in Spain. You know, you have some small spaces. Most people live in apartments. Some people will live in a townhouse, but even the townhouse-type places are pretty small. And so there's not much room for storage. So if you want to store some stuff, you normally have to rent a place. And the word that they use for these storage units over in Spain is trastero, okay, with a T, with two T's actually, trastero. Well, there's a word that's very similar. There's a word that's very similar to that word, and that is trasero, which is your behind. And so, of course, I said one time, I want to rent a trasero instead of trastero. And so you honestly, you have to learn to laugh at yourself. But you know what? We've been there for about 3.5 years, and the language is coming along. I'm able to communicate, preach, and do those types of things, and I'm still learning every day. You know, it's a lifelong process, and God is blessed. And so as I went through language school, we were able to work with some missionaries, and they were a wonderful help to us as we worked with them and we learned about the ministry and how Spaniards are, how the culture is. And, you know, we really cherish those times that we were able to do that. And so after that, in the beginning, after I was in language school and working with these missionaries, interning with them, we branched out and we started our church. Now, my in-laws are back in Spain. Okay, my in-laws and my brother-in-law actually just got over there this last December. But my in-laws came and our desire, the Lord has led us to work as a team, to use teamwork in order to start our church and to have our ministry. And so my in-laws got there. And we began the church. We began planning and the process of starting the church. And, you know, I don't know, probably most of you have never taken on an endeavor such as this. And, you know, it's about 2 hours from here. Everybody knows where Six Flags is, right? Our home church is over there. If you go past Six Flags, about 10 miles, that's about where our home church is. And so this is the Bible Belt, right? This is part of the Bible Belt, just like South Carolina. A lot of our churches are in South Carolina, North Carolina. We're going to be in South Carolina tonight. And this is the Bible Belt. You see a lot of churches. So I want you to imagine going to a place where there are very few churches. Where if there is a church, most likely it's going to be a Catholic church. And if there are some other churches, a lot of times it's not even a Baptist church. It may be an evangelical church, or it may be some other denomination or even some other cult. But even with that, there's very few. You just don't see that many. And so imagine going to this place and having to start a church where you understand that people probably don't want to hear you. They don't want to listen to the message that you have. And so this is what we were faced against, and most missionaries are faced with this when they go to start the churches in their area. And so we began planning, and we were nervous and excited at the same time. And so when we began, if you can see in this picture, this is a picture that we took when we first started. Because what we had to do was we had to hold Bible studies in the living room of my in-law's apartment. And it was a very sweet time. We had one lady that was meeting with us, one lady that had gotten saved, and she was meeting with us. And we were basically holding Bible studies just for her. We never really wanted to continue holding Bible studies in the living room because in Spain, it is, you know, the people, the culture is different. And so if we invite somebody to come to our living room for a church service, red flags are going to go up in their mind. And they're going to think, wait a minute, this could be a cult. I don't know what this is. And so we knew that we had to quickly get a building. So what we did was we started searching for a building. And we found one. And this is what it looks like. This is what it looked like before we actually did some repairs on it. As you can see, there's a walkway there, and it's a storefront. Most of the churches, if not all, are in storefronts over in Spain. There's very few churches where it's a standalone building. There's many reasons for that. Most of the churches are small, pretty much out of our circle of Baptist churches. The biggest one probably is 125, maybe 150 people on a good day. The biggest. So the average church is probably 30 to 40, maybe 50 people. And so the churches are relatively small, and storefronts are usually what the churches are in. And another reason is because of the cost. It's very expensive. If you're going to rent a standalone building, it's going to be very expensive. A lot of these storefronts that are right next to us cost probably $1,500, almost $2,000 a month to rent. We actually found this one at a very good price, 600 euros, which would be about $800 or $900 to rent. And we were very fortunate that God helped us in that. And so this was basically this church. You can see that's the whole building right there. Where that door is, where this picture right here, where we're standing, we're taking a picture, we're standing at the front door. That's the whole building. It's 70 square meters, which I think is probably around 600 square feet. It's not a very big size. But that's what we have to work with. And it was a great place to start. So we started fixing up the building. We did some work. You can see us working there, my son Aaron over there. And we did some work on the building. And this is the finished product. As you can see, we have this window, which they call an escaparate there, which is great because in Spain, most of the businesses have a window where they display their advertisements. And people will walk by and they'll look at these advertisements to see what they have and what products they have. So we display the gospel and we display different things about the Bible. And we offer free Bibles and people walk by and they come into the building because they want a free Bible. And you can see our auditorium there. We got the chairs. And if you notice, right there, we got about 20 chairs set up. That's what we started with. We started with it set that way. We have recently turned the building, which is exciting because our goal was to start like that when we started, to fill that up and then turn the building. Right there, we fit 20 chairs. When we turn the building, we can fit about 50 chairs in there. And so probably several months before we left for furlough, we were able to turn the building because God has been blessing and the church has been growing. And we're excited about that. All right, so next, this is the picture of our first service Bible study that we had once we got the building fixed up. And we had the one lady and the two families, and that's all we had. And it was a very exciting time for us because now we had our building. We had the opportunity to have a place, a church where we were meeting right there in our city, a place where the Bible was being preached and where the gospel could go forth, where the people could hear the gospel. And we had a lot of anticipation about what God was going to do. And so I mentioned this lady. If you see her on the left, her name is Isabel. Okay, she got saved at one of the camps that they have there in Spain. And we had our first baptism. And how exciting that was. It was exciting for a few reasons. Because if you notice in the pictures, Isabel is getting baptized and so is my son. You know, when my son got to Spain, that is when he came up to me one day and he said, "Daddy, I want to know how to be saved." And if you're a parent in here, I think you understand with me how exciting that is. And so he was one of our first converts to be baptized along with Isabel. And that was our first baptism. And we were very excited because, you know what? This was the start. This was the start of our church. And we knew that God had something great in store. And we wanted to see what God was going to do. And you know what? It was also my first baptism ever that I baptized. And if I had the video here, I wish I could show you. I was a little nervous that day. And you see, she's in her 60s or 70s. It's a little old lady, and I baptized her first. And when I did, I went pretty fast. I heard gasps in the congregation of how fast, because I was very nervous. I guess it takes a little while for you to get comfortable with that. But I have baptized recently, and I think I did the same thing one more time, and then I finally have got that worked out. So that was our first baptism. And again, it was very exciting. And so really that was the start of it all. And we began planning on how we were going to reach this city. The city that we're in is called Parla, and it's a suburb of Madrid. Just like we have Atlanta and we have suburbs, and it's really a suburb of Madrid. We're actually in Madrid, but it's a suburb. And we have about 150,000 people. You can see our map there that we got. That's the map of our city. And within that map, there's 150,000 people. It's a very small, it's very different from here because everything here is spread out. You have houses with their own piece of land and things like that. Well, over in Spain, they build up. As you can see, those apartments. I mean, they cram. That area right there is called Parla Este. It's the east side of Parla. And basically, there are probably 10,000 people just within that area right there because they build up instead of out. And so we began planning and strategizing on how we can reach these people. Because you know what? Here's the thing. And I know as missionaries we go over and we're church planters and that's what we want to see. We want to see churches planted. Okay, but my thinking when we opened our church was, you know what, I know that the gospel is available to these people. And that's our whole goal, is making the gospel available to the people of Spain. But what if they never walk through those doors? What if they never come into our church? Is the gospel then available to them? And so I began thinking, how can we make it available to them, to every single person? How can we let every single person in our city know that we're there and that the gospel is there, that the Bible is there, and that we teach the Bible? And so we began planning, and there were several things that we wanted to do. One of the first things we did was we set up a website. It's called estudialabiblia.com, studythebible.com. And we set this website up, and it has articles. They can read articles about Christianity, about different things. It has a Bible in PDF format that they can download, and they can read the Bible there. It has videos that they can watch. And then there's a section where they can request a Bible. And so what will happen when they request this Bible is that we will actually take that request, get their address, call them, and we will take the Bible to them so that we have an opportunity not only to hand them the Word of God, but to share Christ with them. And you know, we've had so many awesome stories with this website. So many people that have requested Bibles, not only in Spain, but all over the world we've had people. It's almost been overwhelming as I've scrambled to try to find different missionaries that were in different parts of the world, trying to get them to see if they could go visit this contact and take them a Bible. It's really awesome because there are people out there that are searching and that want to see what the Word of God has to say. But you know, one request for us has made all of this worth it. And that request was from a young man named Eduardo. And he's there. He has the Bible in his hand. Eduardo and his family, they're a young couple. And he found our website. He's been searching for, from what he told me, basically, when we met, he was searching for the truth. He was searching for the right kind of religion. He didn't know how to explain it. And so he's been searching all of his life. And so when he put in the search engine, when he began to search on the internet, he typed in the words, "What is the true religion?" And guess what? Our website popped up first in Google, which is awesome. And he read all the articles and he liked them. He watched the videos and he requested a Bible. And I remember getting that Bible request from him. And you know, Eduardo lives about an hour from where our church is. It's about 60 kilometers. And my first thought was, well, you know what? There's a missionary that's a little bit further north than us. Why don't I just give it to him and let him take that contact? And then I just started thinking and I said, you know what? And I was talking to my father-in-law. I said, let's just go visit him, because at least I know that we'll get the Bible to him. You know, we'll take the Bible to him. We'll share the gospel with him. And if he's interested, then maybe we can hook him up with this other missionary and what have you. So we went to his house and we gave him the Bible. And we shared the gospel with him. And, of course, he was skeptical at first a little bit. You know, we invited him to church, and the first thing he said was, no, it's just too far. I can't come. It's an hour away. And, you know, that was fine. We were able to take the Bible to him and share the gospel with him. Well, 2 days later, he called, and he said, you know what? I'm going to come to the church. And he said, if I say I'm going to come to the church, that means I will be there. Because you know how it is. A lot of times people say, yeah, I'm going to come, but they never come. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, we had a special service, and he came. And, you know, we kind of started to build a relationship. I mean, just even in those first few moments, he kind of spilled his guts to me, talking to me about different things going on in his life and his marriage. And he heard the message that day, and at the end of the service, an invitation was given, and he raised his hand, saying that he wanted to trust Christ as his Lord and Savior. And what an amazing thing that God did in his life. You know, I went and visited him after that because I wanted to make sure, I wanted to talk to him. And as I was talking to him, I realized that day he did. He did give his life to the Lord. He gave his life to the Lord. And ever since that time, Eduardo has wanted to grow. It's amazing, you know, because we know this as Christians, that we should have the desire to read the Bible, right? We hear that especially preached from the pulpit a lot. As Christians, we should have the desire to read the Bible and to know God more. And a lot of times, especially when we're, you know, I'm dealing with our church and when we're in the ministry, there's a lot of times where people just don't seem to have that desire. And we have to work with them, right? Well, Eduardo is one of these guys where it's almost like we haven't had to do anything. He just has that desire. It's like God has truly transformed him from the inside out. And he has a desire to want to get to know God and know the Word of God. And so there's been some exciting things with him and his family. He got baptized, and we have built a strong relationship. We do discipleship programs over there, and so I've been the one that's been able to disciple him and teach him the Word of God and things like that. And we've built a great friendship even since I've been back over here. You know, we get on Skype, FaceTime, whatever, and we talk. And he continues to tell me, Jeff, I just want to do what's right. I just want to do what's according to God's Word. You know, he's a businessman, and he owns his own business. And he did some things before he got saved that made him a lot of money. But they weren't honest things. And he's told me about those things. And you know what? During the economic turndown, he lost a lot of business. And they've had to really lower their standard of living. And now business has picked back up, and he said, you know what? I know that I could go back out and make a lot of money by doing this, this, and this. But I know that it's wrong, and it's not what God would want me to do. So even though I'm not making the money that I did before, I want to do what's right. You see, God's working in his life. God is changing his life. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. Now his wife, Angie, she was very cold to us when we first came. And when I first came to deliver the Bible, she basically left the house. And the first few times that we went over there, she would maybe say hi and bye, and that was it. Well, we began praying for her. And God began working in her life. About the third or fourth lesson that I had with Eduardo, Eduardo called me before and said, hey, guess what? Angie wants to join us for that lesson. And I said, great. And it happened to be a lesson on baptism. And what we soon found out was that Angie had accepted Christ years before. But she got in with a group that had some weird ideas. And they had some very weird ideas about baptism. And they almost forced her to do certain things. And so she just turned away from that group. And the things that they were trying to force her to do had to do with baptism. So she had a problem with baptism. And so we prayed for her. And Deanna started to pull her aside. Deanna started to build a relationship with her and started to talk with her, show her things from the Scripture. And we basically prayed for her and just told her, you know what? Baptism is one of those steps that we need to follow the Lord in. And as she began to grow in Christ, as she listened to the messages and as Deanna would study the Bible with her personally, she began to understand that she just needed to be obedient to what God had to say in His Word. And it's amazing because one day she came to Deanna. We were going to have a baptism because we had some other people that got saved. And she said, Deanna, I want to be baptized. And what an amazing victory that God did there. Because I never thought, honestly, I thought it would be years before she would ever take the step to be baptized because of what she had gone through in the past. But again, it is God working, God doing amazing things in the lives of these people. You know, one more quick story about her is that she had to live with, Eduardo had his parents living in the house, and it just wasn't a good situation. And she became, her and her father-in-law, they would kind of get into the fights, I mean, big fights, just because it was hard living together. And so she really had, her and her father-in-law just didn't have a relationship at all. When he would walk in the room, she would walk out or vice versa. And so through learning the Scriptures and through God working in her heart, she finally learned the concept and the biblical doctrine of forgiveness. And on Father's Day of this past year, she left Eduardo there with her father because it had gotten to the point where if Eduardo went to see his father, she would get mad. She would not let, they have a daughter, she would not let the granddaughter go see them. And so on Father's Day of this last year, she left Eduardo there with her father and left a note saying, I forgive you, and wrote just this awesome note to her father-in-law and just saying that she forgave him and she wanted to try to restore the relationship. And what a wonderful, again, God working. It's not what we're doing over there, but God is working in these people's lives. And so, you know, this came through the website. This was awesome. And so the website was one of the things that we wanted to do. Another thing that we came up with was what we call the Gospel DVD Project. And basically, this Gospel DVD Project has a short video, and it explains the Gospel very well. And the short video is about 3 minutes. And I'm going to go ahead and show that right now. This is a short video that we show just kind of, it kind of catches people's attention, and then we come on later and we explain it. So let's go ahead and show that real quick.
A man fell in a hole. He fell in a hole, and he couldn't get out. A traveler passed by. He told the man to meditate, to purify his mind, and when he reached nirvana, all suffering would cease. The man did as he was told, but he remained in the hole. Another man appeared. He explained that the hole didn't exist, and neither, in fact, did the man. It was all an illusion. The man who did not exist was still stuck in the hole that was not there. Another visitor arrived. He instructed the man to perform good deeds to improve his karma, and though he would still die in the hole, he might be reincarnated as something magnificent. Another man looked down from above. He taught the man to pray 5 times a day facing east and to follow 5 important tenets. If he was faithful, one day, perhaps, the divine would set him free. The man prayed as best he could, but he was losing strength, and in the hole he remained. Was something different about him. He called down to the man in the hole and asked him if he wanted to be free. This man lowered himself into the air and into the pit. He took hold of the man. Was saved.
Beginning of that video that we show, and then we come on afterwards and we give a clear explanation of the gospel. Because isn't that what Christ did for us? He came down into us, into our hole of sin, and He saved us from our hole of sin. And so we've taken this and we've put it on a DVD, and you can see the cover there. That's the cover of our DVD. That's the map that we used. We also promoted it on a billboard so that when people received it in their home and they saw this billboard, they would tie it together and it would remind them that they have this DVD there to watch. And we put it up on a website and we have the website there. So that it was just all around the people, and we were able to get it to every single household in our city. And that was our goal, was to make the gospel available to every single household in our city. This man here on the right, Paco, is his name. He came in as a direct result. He received the DVD and he came into church. The first time he came in, he left early. We never got to talk to him. And then he came back the next week. And he came back the next week. And he came back the next week and continued coming. And actually, he's only missed, since he started coming, he's only missed 1 or 2 services because he had to go out of town for work or vacation. And Paco, we took him out to eat and we would talk to him, and through conversations, through the preaching of the Word of God, Paco gave his life to Christ. Him and his family, they're Spaniards, and it is very difficult to reach Spaniards. Direct result from this DVD project. His wife later on got saved, and you know what she said? She said, the reason I wanted to get saved was because I have seen such a change in my husband's life. I want to know how to be saved. This couple right here, Carlos and Olenka, they came also as a direct result from the DVD project. And they walked in. Carlos was a skeptic. Didn't really believe in God. Had a lot of questions that we tried to, he presented a lot of those hard questions that, you know, we sit around and think about, you know, if you've ever been to Bible college, you sit around in the dorm and you debate all these things and everybody has different opinions and views about it. Well, those were the types of questions he asked, and they were very hard to answer. Little by little, Carlos, through the preaching of the Word of God, through conversations, through spending time with him, he realized he was a sinner and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And you know what? It has changed his life. And you know how we know this? Not only just by being around him, but there's an amazing thing that happened with them. Carlos and Olenka, she can't get pregnant. I can't remember the exact reason why she can't, but she can't. And just before he received the DVD, they were talking about it, and Carlos told her, this was before he was a Christian, he said, why didn't you tell me this before we got married? If you would have let me know this before we got married, I wouldn't have married you because I want kids. And she told us that the day after, I think, they received the DVD. And they came to church. And since he has become a Christian, and just before we left, she told us, because, you know, of course, they're still having these problems. She's having to go through surgery. And he told her one night, he said, you know what? It's okay that you can't get pregnant. We'll just trust in the Lord. Whatever His will is for our life, we will just trust in Him. God has changed these people's lives. The next thing we did after we finished the DVD project was we called it the Bible Project, Bible in Every Home. And again, what we wanted to do was to get the Word of God into every single household in our city. And so we took a John and Romans that was donated to us. We took an invitation and a gospel tract. We put them together as a packet. And we gave it to every single person, every single household in our city. And what a wonderful thing. And we've had many visitors for that. We have a couple in the church that have come. They were already saved before they came. But they have come and now they're faithful members of our church. And God has worked. God has used His Word, because what does He promise? His Word will not return void. And He has used His Word to work in people's lives. So I think you can see the theme of this is that what we want to see is change lives. That is what God wants to do in our life. He wants to change our life through His Word. You know, I remember back as we sat there in the apartment, in the living room of my in-law's apartment with just one person, and sometimes we would be in that Bible study and we would have nobody, just the two families. And sometimes you think at those moments, you know, are we ever going to have people? Just before we left for furlough, we had a special day. We called it Friend Day. We had the people invite their friends and their family, and we had a total of 50 people come to our service. And I know, you know, we go around America, and I know that doesn't sound like a whole lot to people in America, but you know what? It is an awesome thing for us. We had 50 people come and hear the gospel being preached. And you know what? God has given us a good core group, a solid core group of Christians, of believers who have the desire to learn the Word of God and whose lives we have seen changed. If you have your Bibles, just open up to 2 Corinthians. You probably know this very, very well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is a great verse for what we have been talking about. One of my favorite verses in the Scripture, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we are in Christ, guess what? What are we? We're new creatures. We have changed lives. God is the one who changes our life. And that's what we have seen in the ministry that God has given us. A changed life, and we're so thankful for it. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Father, thank You so much for this day. And we love You and thank You for what You've done in Spain. And Father, for Your Word and for how You bless us each day. Thank You so much for this church and for their faithful support and all that they've done for us through the years. And Lord, we are so grateful for them. And I can pray that You continue to bless them. Bless the rest of this week, this missions conference and revival. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.